continuing our series is Jesus is the Carpenter. We looked at Jesus' light, Jesus is the priest. Today we look at Jesus is the Carpenter. Now, if you look at the Greek word carpenter in the Greek, it's tekteneo, which means a joiner, a carpenter, or a builder of wood, most likely to do with shipmaking, whatever. We really don't know what kind of carpenter Jesus was, short of the video from Passion of the Christ, where we see Jesus kind of have this flashback with Mary, and he builds his table, and he puts his arms down on it, and you know, we see that, and we're like, oh yeah, carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter, so he built tables and bar stools and stuff like that. I asked Dick, I said, am I going to get in trouble if I call it a bar stool in church? He's like, just call it a stool. I'm like, got it. So the stool or the bar stool, whatever kind of thing. We don't really know what kind of builder Jesus was or carpenter. We don't know if he built buildings. We don't know if it was, you know, furniture, tables. We really don't know. But what we do know is in Mark chapter 6 is this phrase right here, which says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. The other passage in Matthew where it attributes to this, it actually says, is that not Jesus, is that not the son of the carpenter, which is very common for children to follow in the trait of their father and to take that and pass it down from generation to generation. So if your father was a carpenter, you would be a carpenter. So we see it even, and that played out in Jesus' life where he's mentioned as a carpenter. His father is also mentioned as a carpenter. And so we look at that and going that Jesus is a carpenter, but last week we looked at priest. And Dick did an excellent job of talking about Jesus being the priest, but not just a priest, but really the better priest. Because in Hebrews, we talked about how it says in Hebrews 7, 22 through 25, it says, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented from death by continuing office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And so what Dick was talking about, how Jesus is not just a priest, but he's the better priest. He's an eternal priest. And so today we're talking about Jesus is the carpenter, but the word I'm going to actually use, which is one word that is in the Greek used, is builder. And Jesus is not just a builder, he's the better builder. Jesus is the better builder. Matter of fact, as we look at that, we'll find a couple of passages of scriptures that help us point to that. The first one's in Psalms 127. Psalms 127, verse 1. We see here, he says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, those who are laboring labor in vain. So the idea, the connotation is that it's not that, oh, well, Jesus is building my house, so I don't have any work to do. I can just sit on the back and watch. I can just critique. I can just look from the side and just like, hey, do you need another hammer, Jesus? I'm letting you know, you're building over here, building my house. Just let me know if you need anything. I'm just going to kick back and drink a Dr. Pepper kind of thing. No. Unless the Lord's building the house, those who labor, they labor in vain. So the connotation is that Jesus is building, but we are in partnership with him throughout this building process. So we remind ourselves that human efforts without God are useless, ineffective, and temporary. Let me read that to you one more time. Our human efforts without God are useless, ineffective, and temporary. Jesus is a better builder. We look at these two things. And if I'm going to build my house, my stool, without the help, the guidance, and the direction of Jesus, it's temporary. That's pretty obvious. Not even a large man like myself needs to sit on this to make it go down. You know, and the children's ministry could look at that and go, that's dangerous, you know. But it's useless. It's temporary. But if I'm doing this without the guidance of God in my life, I'm doing all this in vain. I'm wasting my time. Because the truth is, if I was to, you needed something from me, and you say, hey, Paul, I need a couple of bar stools. Will you knock those out for me? Yeah, no problem. And you turned around, and I was like, hey, here's your bar stool, and I handed you this. You'd giggle just like y'all did when I put it out in front of the stage, and I was proud. Y'all laughed. Because you say, that's ridiculous. But if we're building our lives without Jesus being involved, that's exactly what it looks like. It's a little ridiculous at times. But unless the Lord is building the house, we're not wasting our time. This isn't temporary. This actually is quite sturdy. I trust this craftsmanship completely to even pick my feet up. Thank you, Jesus, for that moment. That was faith in action right there, ladies and gentlemen. But the other passage that helps to point to the fact that Jesus is a better builder is found in Matthew. Turn your Bibles real quick. Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Jesus says these things. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and a great was the fall of it. See, there's two things here. Both men built houses. Both men probably built what they thought was the best house they could do. The difference was one denied instruction, one followed instruction. Let me let you peek into Dick's office a little bit last week when me, Darren, and Dick, we were sitting down going through these things and we were talking about it. I'm just sitting back in my office, you know, kind of flipping through Instagram, and they're kind of nerding out like on that joiner bit, and they're talking about a square, and a square is not square. A square is an L. Okay? These are all things that are like, you know, new to me. Like, you know, those little dots between I have to buy the tape measure that has the numbers next to the tape measure. So, because I don't know what's bigger, 7/8 or, you know, 2/4, you know, I don't really know. It's actually half. I'm just kidding. I'm not very good at math either. But I don't know all that stuff. Dick and Darren, they were talking about this. We could do this and we could, we have to put it. He calls this an apron. I thought an apron was something you wore over your neck to keep food off of you while you cooked. Not when you're constructing. An apron is a thing that goes around this, whatever it is, to keep it from wobbling left and right. Obviously, I'd have no aprons, and even one that you put around your neck would not even work on that, probably. I learned a lot, but the thing is, we were talking about it, and they're like, well, don't you want a jigsaw? Don't you want this? I said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I've sat on enough stools. I know how to build a stool. I can build a stool in less than 2 minutes. I was a little nervous. You know, I went a little over 2 minutes, but I said, I'm just going to get the piece of square wood, and I'm just going to go fur, fur, and I'm just going to cut the corners off of it, make it kind of a stop sign-ish kind of looking thing. That's what, I mean, I don't need to worry about anything. And, you know, and he's like, but where are your integrity going to go? Like, how are you going to keep it sturdy? I said, listen, I'm just going to build a stool. It's not going to be that hard. I sat on them enough. I said, what I do know is I'm going to build them off 3 legs, because if you have 4 legs, sometimes this wiggles and it drives me nuts. So, but if you have 3 legs, it doesn't wiggle at all. And I was like, well, it's balanced at least. It wiggles. But, I was like, I'm going to just do mine. And they were talking about all these things. They had the plan. We're going to mark it out. What y'all didn't know is that Dick actually had some of his stuff pre-drilled and pre-marked. He had a plan. He knew what he was getting to. I just made mine up. Why? Because I've sat on enough bar stools. I know what that looks like. I can figure it out. And just because you grew up in a house where you had a father, and you may have had a great father, doesn't it make you a great father? Just because you grew up and you're like, well, I was a teenager, so, you know, I know how to raise teenagers because I were one, you know, kind of thing. It doesn't make you a qualified parent. I tell our kids all the time, my oldest son turned 17 at the end of this month. And I tell my kids all the time, listen, I've never raised a 16-year-old before. I've never raised an Abby before. Like, this, give me some grace here. I'm learning and I need some instruction. I just can't make it up. And if I do, that's a result. It'll look like a parent. It'll look like a husband. But will it stand the test of time? Will it bear the weight of the world? Or do I need to take some instruction, follow the plan, and stick to the course? Now, Dick's took a lot longer than mine, too. But it was worth the product. It was worth the time invested in it. So therefore, Jesus, he's the better builder. We go through life every day building things. things into our life. Every decision we make, every test we take at school, every decision we make, you know, who we go to lunch with, who we decide not to go to lunch with, the jobs we take, the jobs we didn't take, the friends we had, the friends we told we decided not to, you know, allow that to be influences in our life anymore. Every one of those things are a piece of wood or a screw constructing our life. And if we go through this life without listening to any instruction that comes from Jesus' mouth, or we're building our house without his guidance, we're building it in vain, and it won't last. This is a stool. No one can deny it. Everybody will say, yep, that's a stool. They'll probably make, they'll probably give reasons, excuses for it. But we know no one in their right mind would trust this. If you went to a restaurant and you saw that, you would be like, is this supposed to hold a plant? Like, what's the deal? You know, that kind of thing. You wouldn't trust it because the builder did not follow any instructions. The builder did not have any guidance. He just kind of made it up. And there's a lot of times we find ourselves just like the foolish man. We just make it up. We don't consult guidance and direction of Jesus in our time. Again, anything that we build without the direction of God is useless and temporary. It's pointless. It's temporary. So my thought is this. If Jesus really is the better builder, then why don't we trust him more often? Why do we continue to say, I got it. I got it. Back off. Trust me. And Jesus is like, no, I don't think it's about me trusting you. I think it's about you trusting me. And we kick Jesus out of the plane so often. We don't confer to the scriptures to find out what it is we should or should not do. We don't counsel with other wise people in our life and say, hey, what would you do if you're in the situation? Would you pray with me about this? We don't go to the Lord as often as we should in prayer. Even though everything we do, we're attaching and building things to our lives. So here's this. Kids, students, who's helping you build your life? Your friends? Your social media apps? Who are you relying on to help conjoin and build and connect your life together? If every decision you are making or building your life together, then who's doing that? I want to ask you guys to trust Jesus because he's the better builder. That you'll consult with Jesus to say, okay, what does it mean to be in a relationship with my parents? What does it mean to honor my father and mother? What does it really mean to walk in wisdom and be wise and not to be with foolish people? What does that scripture mean that if I fall around with foolish people that bad company corrupts good character? Like 1 Corinthians 15:33, like what does that really mean? Jesus is the better builder. Trust him in building your life. College students, young adults, unmarried people. Maybe God's not working on your time frame. You're like, I don't even know if this is the career I want to be in. How come, you know, Mr. Knight in Shining Armor hasn't come around yet? Or how come he left? Or how come she hasn't been around yet? Don't discard what Jesus wants to do in your life just because your plan isn't shaping up the way you thought it would be at this time. Well, here I am. I'm changing my major. I'm a junior, and I'm now changing my major for the second time. You know, what's going on? God, where are you? You're not doing things my timeline. Trust Jesus, he's the better builder. What are we confirming to what his, are we going back to reading his words, to staying in his presence? So whether you're a kid or whether you're a young adult or unmarried, your timeline isn't about your timeline. It's about listening and following the directions of the Holy Spirit and listening to Jesus because he's the better builder. Moms and dads, you have a tremendous, tremendous workload ahead of you in raising kids. I get it. I know it's tough. And your calendars are full. Probably the word you heard more than you heard, other than Jesus or prayer or blessings today, outside those words, you probably heard this word, busy. Hey, how's life going? Oh, it's going great. It's busy. Hey, how's your week? Oh, it's not bad. It's busy. Busy. Everything's busy. Everyone's busy. Our calendars are busy. If they're that busy, then who's helping us fill that calendar? Who are we checking with and aligning ourselves with? If Jesus is the better builder, moms and dads, are we conferring with him about our relationship as husband and wife, as parent? Are we looking to what the scriptures say? If Jesus is the better builder, are we looking to what he says about what we're building right now? Senior adults, you probably thought I was going to leave you out. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I believe you guys have the toughest job. And you have this gift that none of us have right now, which is this ability to look back across the years of your life and you see more clearly the hand of God than someone in my position that can. I mean, I've been married for 18 years. We've got a 16-year-old kid. Like, those numbers mean nothing to some of you faithful believers in this church. You're able to look back more clearly and see what God did and his hand on your life and the times you were listening to every voice he said and where every screw you went and every wood you put, you saw that. And there's some times you walked away and you saw what you were constructing in that time. You're able to see that a lot clearer than someone like me who's right there in the middle of some of that chaotic times. Can I tell you this? People like me, we need people like you in our lives. Someone that will partner with us and say, hey, don't get carried away. Slow it down. Remember what you're building. You're not gonna be able to raise your son to be a man in 6 months. It takes some time. Slow it down. Make sure you measure twice. Cut once. Come on, Dad, you got this. See, I meet with a gentleman, I meet with Jerry Compton every Friday, I try to meet every Friday. Sometimes he ditches me for a doctor's appointment or a golf game. I bail on him on a golf game too, but I meet with him every Friday. We meet at Bill and Miller's, and I want to be next to a man that I believe walks with Jesus, loves Jesus, and he's not perfect at all, but there's a lot of things about, he's been married a lot longer than I have, and he's raised kids longer than I have, and he's a grandfather, and I'm not even there yet, but there's a lot of wisdom for me to soak up from him. I need that in my life. Senior adults, take the gift that you've been given and pass it on to someone. The wisdom that you've gained from your life, give it to other people, partner with them, love on someone, train them. Because, and the other thing is, don't forget, you're still building your life too. Listen to the words of Jesus. God may be calling you to disciple someone. It's a unique gift that you have that someone like me in my shoes, I don't have right now. Take that experience, take that wisdom that God has given you through time and the time in the scriptures. We should all be doing that. We should all be looking for someone to train up, to teach. But if we don't listen to the words of Jesus in that we're laboring in vain, we're building something that won't last. So Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do you understand that? Get this. The Jesus, the better builder, the master craftsman, says that we are his workmanship, that he's helping us build our lives. And he says, "I have set out things in advance for you. I've prepared things in advance for you to do in good works." God has already pre-measured some of your cuts. God's already marked a couple of spots where you should screw. God's already prepared in advance for you things to do. But if we're not ever listening to the voice of what he says, we're not in the scriptures, we're not praying, we're not around other godly influences in our life, then what we're building, we think we're building this and we turn out with that and we go, that's not quite. And you know what? We're kind of embarrassed. So we walk around and be like, oh yeah, no, it's great. It's wonderful. You know, you should try it out. Not today, but you should try it sometime, you know? And we hide it. How's everything in your family? Oh, it's going great. Marriage is wonderful. Kids are doing great. You know, we kind of hide behind our stool. We don't want people to really see it because we know what we're really building. We're too embarrassed to say, you know what? I need help. I don't know the difference to a dovetail. I thought it was dove season. Sorry, I got it mixed up. You know, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I need some help. Maybe partner with someone who's been down the journey a little bit and say, hey, let me show you a thing or two. It's interesting, every time Dick and I have ever done a project together, I start out with a drill in my hand and end up with a pencil. I start screwing something, so let me see that real quick. I'm like, all right. And he shows me, he's like, hey, this, you can't just do that. I'm like, I just did. He's like, yeah, but it's wrong. And we end up having to throw it out because it was wrong. So I end up, you know, mark this, hold this, and he explains to me what we're doing. I'm not very good with woodworking, as you can tell. But there's a lot of us in our parenting, in our finances, in our relationships with our wives, our spouses, our own parents, our peer relationships. That's what we're constructing because we're not listening to the voice of Jesus. Because we're not partnering with him as our general contractor. So I want to invite the praise team to come out real quick, and we're going to enter a time of worship because I'm thinking, what do we do with this? Like, okay, Paul, I get this. Like, this is what I want to build. This is what I don't want to build. Right now, I'm looking like this is what, you know, my first 2 years of college, this is what it's looking like right now. I've been married, you know, for the first, you know, 3 years. We just had our first kid. It's starting to look a little more like this. Okay, Paul, what do I do? Well, response may be repentance. Jesus, obviously, I'm not very good with building things on my own. I need your help. And Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe repentance is the first thing. Maybe your life started out and you're doing something like this. Maybe your response is, Jesus, I want to thank you that you're faithful, that you see me as a workmanship in your eyes, and you're preparing in advance for me to do great things in your kingdom. So I just want to say thank you, God, that you are not leaving me high and dry. Can I tell you, I wrote this at the bottom of my message here, and I failed to mention it in the first service, but I wrote, no matter how many times you have fallen or failed, isn't it great to know that Jesus did not give up on us? If he was to look at me and say, you know what, Paul, I'll tell you what, let's take those screws out, we can reuse them. You know, we're gonna construct something a little different. Your saw was cut a little weird, so we're gonna take those legs and we're gonna take what you have and we're gonna shape it up a little different. These things you didn't think you needed, well, you need those in your life, and so we're gonna construct something, but we're gonna do it together. There's not gonna be a time frame on it. We're not gonna put a timer on it, but I want to partner with you because you are my workmanship, and I have set apart you to do great things in the kingdom of God. So I don't know where you are in building your life. I know at times I'm like this and sometimes I'm like this. But I'm grateful that no matter how many times I've fallen or failed, Jesus does not give up on me. And I want you to know he does not give up on you.